This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Hi.
Easy.
Welcome Hello. Back to TBI, episode 210. I know. It's just ungodly. But
1 year, one episode for every year Julian's been alive.
We're joined by Vittorio Angeloni, comedian, former regular voice on the podcast. We're doing this via the magic of the internet. Julian has got a green screen on for his, so and his internet is not capable of dealing with having a green screen going on. So what he's doing is sacrifice the audio quality just so he can look like he's in a recording studio. That's how professional he is as a podcaster.
I just got a new bit of kit, you know what I mean? Been down richer sounds.
His Wi-Fi is so...
my Wi-Fi is... Fuck it! I'm going to switch it over.
You bought a fucking Wi-Fi router, mate.
I don't get people. I stay with my auntie and uncle when I'm up in Edinburgh, and they have an upstairs Wi-Fi and a downstairs Wi-Fi, and it's just like, how are you living like that? That every time you have to go on your phone and swap it over and do whatever, because you can get the mesh things now, and I offered to buy them one as so like the a
mesh. I'm
for
thinking
letting
of
me
getting the
there.
Mesh. Somebody recommended this mesh thing because I've got
what's a mesh.
Mesh is like because our place is long here, so our router's in the living room. Oh, is that weird to say a long?
I've never heard anyone describe their house as long.
Not? So we've got a long house. What would you describe? Like,
I've got my house is more girthy.
Really? No, so ours is a narrow, long house.
It's what you do with your house that matters, really.
But it's so for the Wi-Fi in the living room. Like, if you're in the kitchen, you ain't on the Wi-Fi. So I bought an extender to go halfway down the hallway. And it just about gets to like Alexa works in the kitchen with the extender, but you wouldn't want to be, you know, you're not going to be streaming too much in there.
And this is one of these 2.4G hits.
Yeah, so like so 5G it's, hits yeah, and it's really shit. Like it's shit. I've had it for a year and I hate it. And then somebody just said, get this mesh. Mm. It's way better. So I am.
So what? The mesh, and I don't know how it actually works, but apparently it doesn't like basically catch your Wi-Fi and then like rebound it on. It comes through the walls. Okay. So it goes through to the plug and it gets it via wired and does it. And it's not a separate network. It's all on the
well,
same.
That's sick, that thing of it losing half every day. Yeah, it's just shit. I don't want that, you know. Not that I'm doing loads of work in the kitchen. It doesn't bother me that much unless I'm suddenly... What happens is sometimes I'm on the phone in the kitchen and my phone clicks onto Wi-Fi and tries to make it an internet call because I'm with EE, and that's what they like doing. And suddenly it just dropped.
What
out.
Is the mesh actually like a Wi-Fi extender?
Mm. Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, but it keeps it all on the same network. Yeah, yeah. And you don't have to sign into a different Wi-Fi every time.
But
that sounds good.
Yes. So anyway, welcome back, Vittorio. We saw each other last night, mate.
Oh, thank
didn't we? I did your
the Gladstone Arms.
Good fun. You were doing some new material, and
so much new material that is real, real ropey. I can't decide what way around to lay out that room. I feel like they feel quite
What's different? Yeah, normally you're in the corner and they all face you. But last night, yeah, they were side on.
Yeah.
But I do think because the door was open, I think the way they were last night, they said, I know what I'm like. If I can see an open door, I'm distracted. Do you know what I mean?
The feng shui is off.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I
like
that. But then I was going to just flip it 180. This is such bad chat. I was going to flip it 180 from where it is now. Yes. So basically have.
I think the comedian should be furthest from the door. I don't know why I've got that instinct.
It's better to have the door behind the audience, isn't it? In case people come in, you know what I mean? They're not distracting the audience.
They can slip in the back.
Nice.
Somebody just thinking of gig setup, weirdly. So there was a question on our group from James said, I said, any questions for the pod? And he said, this is for you, Vittorio, but we'll spread it out. Do you have any pre-gig rituals? Like,
I have one. I touch my toes. Yeah, and it's not really a superstition thing. I just think if I touch my toes every day, then I'll always be able to touch my toes.
Right, so it's more of a keeping limber.
Yeah, it's more about the toe. Like, the gig is almost a ritual to remind me to...
It's a good thing to be limber, isn't it? Like I've been going gym a bit recently, and I've actually started for the first time ever doing proper warm ups, like before doing it. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. Doing like sort of what's it called? Dynamic stretching. I've been doing, and it's like you really just feel so much better and bendier.
It's a big difference,
it's
isn't it?
Yeah. Difference.
I get a bit lazy sometimes, but. I've not warmed up before and just pulled my shoulder for fucking 6 months. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
So from doing it.
I have to, man.
Yeah, for the sake of
now.
I'm 35 now.
now you're in your mid-30s. You've really got to start stretching.
Now I'm in my mid-70s. My mum's 82 and she does like an hour and a half of Pilates.
Yeah, that's great.
She's hardcore.
My mother-in-law is in her 70s, and she does Zumba, which is just basically dancing in a gym.
I did a few Zumba.
Dancing in a gym for some reason.
It's nice, though, yeah.
Yeah, it's something it is. I mean, but she's super fit and healthy, and it's great. But from doing the stretching now, I've been doing a lot of, like, just around the house when I'm playing with Twyla and that. If she's down on the floor, normally I sit on the floor next to her. I'll be sitting in a squat. Like, you know, to get them hips wide, man. Get that, and it's really good just keep that doing it daily.
Shitting
enjoying
on the floor.
Yes.
My Wi-Fi is well laggy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I'm going to switch my Wi-Fi laggy. Back.
I've been trying to go to the gym more. I got a personal trainer for the month of August, which seems like an insane month to get a personal trainer. But I just thought it's the only... Well, number one, it was a gift from my girlfriend, which is rude.
That
actually.
Is, yeah. It's like a Weight Watchers subscription or something. Here you go. Yeah. I was trying to think, what could be nice to get you? Here's an appointment to get a gastric band fitted.
For Christmas, I got you in shape. Is that? I would like you to look different. Is that all right?
I got your facelift.
But the idea was basically that's the only time I'm in one place for a month. So I guess it's if there was ever a time to kind of get into a bit of a routine, that could be the time. And I did really good, and the trainer guy was nice. Too many I need a sarcastic personal trainer, but I don't think they exist. Like, they're so They're so
earnest.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's and this is, I'm not doing this as a plug, but basically, because I've had personal trainers in the past. I used to, I had a great personal trainer, Dave Brockway, Julian, you know him. And he's he used to be a stand-up. He like he's a very good, very he takes it all very seriously, and he was great. And I did before my wedding, I did 2 months with him, and he got me in like incredible, like the best shape I'd probably ever been in. This time around, I'm working with another ex-comedian, but we're doing it remotely, and he is he's quite funny and can joke about it, and I'm finding it really good.
Who's he? Which comedian?
I didn't know Russell Brand was a person. Yeah, he's
a bit of work. Do you know what I mean?
He's a bit handsy.
Mostly, yeah. What he does is I do exercises, and then after each one, I have to send him a picture of my arsehole.
That's payment. What comic is it, Carl?
Carl Schultz. He doesn't do stand up anymore, but he was knocking around when I started, and we used to sort of knock around a bit, and then he gave up comedy probably 2016, I think he gave up, and then he used to be like a marathon runner in his spare time, like he's super fit. Mm. And then he just, after comedy, decided, because he was super lean and skinny and tall, he decided to get ripped. So he at one point, he was doing strongman competitions. He beefed up so big. And and now he does some other stuff, works like in some other things. But like he's just starting to work with like trying to help people like as a sort of remote personal trainer, do some in-person sessions as well. But so he's been doing it all remotely. And it's really good, man. He's really good at keeping it manageable for you, like, because my thing is I hate going to the gym for longer than 1 hour. If I'm there for over an hour, I'm like, fuck this place. This is like a job, so I want to be in and out preferably 50 minutes is my top end. I like to be in and out of a gym. If I'm going to the sauna afterwards,
that's all you need to do.
You go to the gym 60 minutes, 40 minutes in there's a sad bit.
And then basically
have a read of the paper.
If I go sauna afterwards, I'll drag it out. Yeah, but he's really good at like he's designing it, this schedule that he's got me on. He's adding and taking and moving and putting weight up and things, but it's he's keeping it within the confines of what works for my life, rather than if you want to get in shape you've got to do this like to the letter.
I had the guy for August, and then basically I just nabbed his spreadsheet and was like, well, I'll just do all of this and gradually make it heavier as it becomes easier.
Yeah.
And I've
been
kind of doing that. But like, it was the first time, like every day he would send me a message being like, hope today goes well, bro. And then like, just like a muscle emoji. Wow. And I'm just like,
block.
I can't block deal and delete, with this. I just can't deal with that. And then
I don't actually mind a bit of that though. Like I don't mind a bit of that. I don't mind a muscle. Sometimes I bang over a little muscle emoji. But I know what you mean.
For a laugh, obviously. But you can't be doing an earnest bicep emoji. That's crazy.
Psychotic. Get on it today, man.
But at the flip side of that is it's nice to have a little bit of monitoring and somebody just giving you a nudge, like, you know. And also what I really find not important but just helps me in particular is like what Carl did with me is like he's got my form down. Like he's like, let's get form right before anything. It doesn't matter, don't get in your ego and think you want to be lifting much heavier. Just take weight off and get the form right before you even think about adding weight to anything. Like, and just doing that has already just got me like everything's so much in better shape. Because often you get in your head and you go a bit heavy, and then you're actually missing the sort of muscle groups you're trying to hit.
Ego lifting, isn't it? Yeah,
so, and you might hurt yourself.
Yeah. Pull your back out.
The conundrum I have at the minute is a couple people have messaged me on Instagram and offered to be like an online coach or personal trainer for free, but I have to post about it on my Instagram. And I'm just like, as a comedian, like, can you do like at the gym?
Julian will post himself doing topless chin-ups, for fuck's sake.
I did get a lot of shit in lockdown. I started to do like handstand push-ups and stuff. But I was trying to make it funny. But
of course you were. You didn't care about that. You just wanted people to see you doing them.
I had my willy out. I had a red nose on. Dressed like a clown.
Oh, man. But it's a hard one.
I've just got used to doing it. I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's a hard thing if you're just a comedian who does jokes online to then do something earnest, isn't it? I can't even do them earnest posts that loads of people do about their tours or Edinburgh about, like, it's been such a great month and, you know, just how many tickets I sold. And these things that are totally fine and normal. For me, I can't do that because in my head I'm like, fucking shut up, mate. You're a comedian. You know what I mean? Like, so I think of that in my head the same as if I posted a before and after picture of me going to the gym. I'd be like, you're just being serious. Stop being serious and do jokes.
But any of that stuff, I'm just like, that's just work. Like, you're just marketing yourself. That's just for the... But just, I don't know. But then, like, the money of, like, having a personal trainer for no money would be so sweet.
The American guys are all right with that kind of stuff, though, aren't they? They'll, like...
Well, most American comedians, like...
They'd be happy to, like...
Work out anyway. They don't. They'd be posting pictures of them doing fucking deadlifts left, right, and centre, I reckon.
Yeah.
I think it is a British thing of, like, you know, look at this. Because in the UK, if you did a video saying I was at the gym today getting loads of help from this personal trainer and he's got my deadlift up to fucking whatever, you would just literally be zinging around WhatsApp groups, like, so quick. You know what I mean? Like, before you've dropped the weight to the ground, you'd be in WhatsApp groups. You know what I mean? It's just, that's the thing that puts off so many, because we know how bitchy comedians are. And obviously that's...
Because we are, but
it's horrible because I know for a fact that actually you should never, ever consider that. Everything you do should be done... Basically, you should be happy doing yourself. Don't worry about what other people are saying, but you can't not get out of your head.
Especially other comics as well, like your colleagues. Yeah. It don't really matter, does it? Like, it shouldn't matter.
Go to the back of the room, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
It's really...
Like this week already, I've had a couple of just screenshots of people's social media this week. Just being like, here he is, look at this. And I'm like, oh, God.
I know. Yeah, we're all just guilty of just, like, tearing each other down, aren't we? I'm really trying to get into this, like, this headspace of, like, just being, like, open and, like even if it's not my thing, even if the stand-up they do, I don't like it, I'm just like, that's so cool that they get to do the thing that they like. Isn't that good for them, you know?
I'm more like that now. Yeah, definitely, like...
That's one I've never struggled with. I've never, ever had a single bit of envy for another comedian. I've never had anything other than, oh, that's cool, they're doing their thing.
Also,
the reality is... You often comedians convince themselves if somebody gets a thing, be it a television thing or whatever, that it must have got it over you. And actually, you're putting yourself in a conversation that you might never have even been part of. The chances are it might have been between them and three other people, whatever. And actually, it's an ego thing to put yourself in that conversation. You're doing it because you obviously think you should be there, but just wait until you're in the conversation or just grow up, really. But like, I totally can live without ever considering any jealousy or anything towards somebody else. But that being said, I still cannot stop myself from just slightly bitching about people's online behavior in WhatsApp groups. Like, and I know it's a bad thing. I know that I need to stop that. And, you know, it doesn't sit well with me morally.
It's all right, though. It's fun, isn't it? If someone's been, like, weird.
But it's weird.
It's normal. Yeah,
it does feel a bit like I'm digging them out.
The classic example at the minute is Matt Rife. You know this very, very handsome American comedian? Oh, he's just the
Is he the one who says he peaked in high school, that guy?
Maybe. He's like really, really attractive, like in incredible shape, does quite a lot of crowd work clips.
Let me have a look at this hunk.
Okay, I think I know you.
He's a real hunk, and I had a real like bugbear with him for a while, where I was like, oh God, he just loves himself. He's so full of himself for this, that, and the other. And then I spoke to John Kearns, and he was like, yeah, I think he's really good. And I was like, oh, I'm definitely better. That's definitely what this is, because Kearns was just like, I think he's got some good stuff. I was like, no.
Good-looking boy, isn't
no.
he? He's a lovely-looking boy. Topless he's got Instagram it all, pic.
Topless tour poster.
Nice.
That's, I think, oh, that's, yeah, the
topless
line,
tour poster. Like... You absolute fucking beefcake, mate. Julia, mate.
He ain't playing.
That should be your picture, Julia. You should do next year's tour. You should do a tour with a topless pic. I'm gonna do mine with bottom half naked. That's gonna be my one.
Yeah.
Just winning the boots. Just t-shirt, my cock out swinging
just
around.
One leg up on a chair. A shirt and tie.
But yeah, he's a lovely looking chap. I've not seen his clips, but I'll check him out.
I'm really trying to drill myself out of that, like, and compare myself.
Yeah.
It's going good. I'm having a great time. I'm really loving
it. And also, I think there is that thing of, like, I think too many comedians are pretentious about comedy, when it's the same sort of thing. You get really annoyed if somebody judges you for, like, you know, comedians will moan that a reviewer didn't get it, or a reviewer thought they were a bit fucking hack or whatever. I don't know. I'm just creating a thing, but, like, you know, people will do that when they're like, I read a review and the reviewer thought it was just a bit bland or something. And they'll be super upset, but then in a same breath, they'll say that about a comedian they've watched. And it's like, well, that's, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Weirdly, it's one of the positives that I've always done naturally is I've got incredibly low standards for watching comedy. Like, I will watch any old shit and I'll laugh. You know, I'll watch the hackiest Jonglers app from the 90s and I'll just be at the back just laughing.
Don't bring me into it, man.
But, like, I've always just been able to switch off the comedian part of me and watch it as an audience member where, you know, and I'll just...
I know what you mean. I do that, yeah.
Unless somebody's asked me to, like, make notes on their show or whatever, or, like, if...
Obviously,
like, if
yeah, then you've got to have, like, a critical eye.
And also, it's bad when, like, somebody hasn't said to me beforehand, they're like, do you have any thoughts? I was like, oh, I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
You should have told me beforehand, because I switched all of that off and just enjoyed the show.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a compliment. I don't know. I just sat back and enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's a nice thing to do, to watch somebody that you might, you know, if you had to put a critical eye on it, you might be like, come on, that's a bit derivative or whatever. But actually just being like, everyone in the room's laughing and just being like, I'm just going to be one of these people, man. And I don't want to watch. Too many comedians watch comedy like they're critics, and they despite supposedly hating critics. It's like,
that's not what it's for, is it? It's for making you laugh and having fun. It's
exactly.
You don't watch films like that too much.
Yeah.
My brother does. My brother always watches films like with like a critical eye of like, oh, I think they should have done that. I'm very much a guy, I'll watch a film and within the first 10 minutes, I just accept it for what it is.
And then
I'm on board. Like, I watch The Expendables, which is just old action.
Everyone.
Guys,
it's like a fucking retirement home, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, it looks like Soccer Aid of action movies. And you just watch it and go, well, this is going to be old guys and like, slow-mo and stuff blowing up. And I do not expect anything more from this. So I'm going to have a nice time.
Definitely. It's... like one of my favorite sort of, again, and it's that weird thing where it couldn't be more different to what I do, you know what I mean? But like I follow Instagram thing called Chocolate Sundays, which is a black comedy night at the Laugh Factory in LA. And it is like, it's people from like black American comics. And like some of them are doing some of the most outrageous things you could not get away with in the UK. Like, I swear to God, like, you know, again, if you put your critical eye on it, you would be like, that is not acceptable. Or that is it's just something like, it's really, you know, it is men and women, old school observation or stuff. But done with just this pure fun. Like, and it's one of my favorite things of Instagram. I just laugh like a drain. That's one of the ones I'm always sending clips to mates of, mate, check this bit out. Like, I saw one the other day.
What's it called? Chocolate Sunday. I want to try and... I might have a little
I saw one the other day. I almost want to give the guy a recommendation so people can find it, because it made me laugh so much.
I'm pretty sure, like, it would be, like, to the extent that that only works in America, I don't know if you could do a show in the UK called Chocolate
Sundays. No, there is that.
A white guy couldn't start that night, could he?
Oh, fuck, I'll cancel my...
Imagine that was a white promoter. Yeah, we just have black axe on. It's called Chocolate Sundae.
There's one. This card is.
Well, we used to do the black and white minstrels show. That was slightly different.
This guy called Comic Sean did one. This wasn't the one I thought about. I've just seen, even just like, you see just the concept of the routines. This guy, the opening line to his routine is, if you've got a really good vagina, that's the opening line. It's like, yes. This is a guy, that's man. So this guy, funny. Byron Bowers. So funny. And he basically did a routine about somebody asking me if he'd rather be blind or deaf. And he said, "You guys, I'd rather be deaf because you can't hear what titties look like." It's like, and then it's just a whole routine about how funny, like, just, and he just compares what it'd be like to never see tits again. And I was like, "That is such a silly routine. I think it's such a hard thing to land." Ridiculous. But I recommend it. Chocolate Sundae. Just what is great.
Yeah, that was quite funny.
Me and Sean Walsh often send each other clips from it. We're both big fans, and like, we're always like, "Have you seen this one?" It's like a real sort of a regular back and forth.
Mm. Oh, that's so nice. I love that. I love just all the silly. I have one thing I watch all the time on Instagram, and I've unfollowed everybody recently, partly for a joke and partly because I was very addicted to my phone. But I used to follow this page called Hall of Meat, which is exclusively skateboarders falling over.
I can't watch that stuff.
And like fucking stuff up. But the problem with the algorithm is, and this is why I know that AI isn't going to like take over or do anything bad, is because I like that. That is the only skateboard video page that I want to watch, is the one where they fuck it up every time. But then in my suggested videos, there's always videos of people just like nailing it on skateboards. Yeah. I'm always really
You don't want successful skateboarding tricks.
No.
You want him to fall on a spike. Fall off a cliff. I watch loads of those kind of prank things or like fails. I could just sit there for hours. Or like when people get knocked out in the street.
I can sort of just about watch a fight clip, you know, them.
I like a headbutt one. I've watched a few of them lately.
I love headbutts where they both get knocked out. That's my favorite.
That's great.
Let's do some other questions. Let's move. Somebody just quite creepily complimented your eyes, Vittorio. Somebody says, do you have a donor card? And if so, can I pre-book those eyes? That's the creepiest chat up line I've ever heard.
Just say they look nice, you freak.
Can I have them when you die?
Can I pluck them out?
Can you imagine if that's how men cat call? Oh, like, give me your bits. Yeah. Not like nice bits. They were like, give me them.
Can I have them on a donut?
Do you have a donut card? Because I want your tits when you're dead. I went to
the vagina in your womb.
I want your cold, hard tits.
Yeah, it's disgusting, isn't it? Some people would think that's like a cool, nice chat up line. And it's like, come on, mate, just zoom out for a sec and just look at it objectively. Somebody
Does anybody
says, Jagu.
Want your dead anus? Because Has anyone put dibs on it?
Yeah, I just want to dry it out and put it up on the wall.
I can wear it as a ring.
Jagu on this asked, did you get any harsh feedback on your Israel-Palestine joke? And where was this? Did you do a joke on the internet?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It was Elon Musk.
You forgot about being banned on every platform.
I forgot I've been cancelled in the past day.
Yeah, I'll get followed by Mossad now.
I was worried because... I was worried that there was somebody who was there last night. I was like, geez, that's a rapid turnaround on getting this question. Because I did like a small riff on stage about how I'm too stupid to understand like Israel-Palestine stuff. And like, and I was like, well, what are your thoughts? You just see all these really confident people online. Like, what are your thoughts? And I'm like, I need to do more reading. That's my only thought.
My thought as well is, I don't really, and it sounds almost, you know, horrible. Although it's not really, you know, I don't really follow the Middle East. In general, news-wise, conflict. It's too far.
No, I'm more into the Premier League.
But I hardly follow the UK news. Why would I? I don't really follow world news.
Yeah.
So I genuinely.
It seems like it's big events. Over of course, there, though, yes. Like, yeah. On a massive.
Sorry,
scale,
going over to our correspondent.
There's some big shit happening over here, man.
But I understand the slight... I don't really know much about the history of it, but I get what it's
about. I've watched
a
few interviews on both sides. Yeah, it seems horrific,
but I definitely don't, 9/11. But I definitely don't have enough information to create a good understanding, you know, or have a good opinion, or like to have an actual thought out opinion. And so when you hear some fucking 20-year-old actor or something say their thoughts, I'm always like, well, thanks for sharing those, but I don't think I'll be taking them on board, I'm afraid, because let me read something from a 50-year-old bloody Middle East commentator, or someone who's actually been on the ground for 30 years or so. You know, I just find it all, everyone's got their fucking opinions, mate.
There seem to be split down the middle as well, doesn't it, on my Twitter anyway. The left wing of Palestine, the right wing of Israel. It seems to be
I suppose, but I also think there is a grey area in between as well. You know, there's obviously left wing Israelis, and it's not as black and white as it does seem on Twitter. I think that's probably the crux of it.
Yeah.
The only bit, the bit that I did yesterday, and I think they're probably talking about a tweet which was silly, but the bit I did yesterday was like basically that I need to do more reading. Like, I'm still bogged down on how fucking hungry this caterpillar is.
And
me cracking on with like analysis of the Middle East. But the only other thing I said that I thought was silly is I just based it on whatever celebrities I like the most, like whatever they like, and the decision's a bit too obvious with the Middle East thing, because on one side you got Ben Shapiro, and then yesterday Mia Khalifa tweeted in support of Palestine, and I was like,
she got sacked off of something or other, didn't she, for saying that.
She's a singer.
Oh, did she?
Yeah,
no, she's a porn star. Mia, a former porn star.
I think she got thrown off of Pornhub or something, I read on Twitter.
Cancel culture is rife, isn't it? You just can't say it.
I watched Ben Shapiro's interview. I mean, he looked visibly like really up. Obviously, he's Jewish, isn't he?
But the tweet I did, which I don't know why anyone would be annoyed about it. It was basically Elon Musk had tweeted that all Tesla,
I saw your tweet,
are now free in Israel.
What's that? What is that? Tesla charging points. Right.
Yeah. And I was like, given how often Teslas explode, this can only benefit Hamas.
Fine.
And I was like, the only person I'm making fun of is
Elon Musk and Tesla. Yeah. You know, there's not a single opinion there about the actual conflict.
Like, which I love. That's my favorite type of joke. Yeah. It's just like,
Hamas are terrorists, aren't they? So it's like,
they are the government as well of Palestine. But then it's that thing that doesn't mean everyone supports them. They've got loads of critics in Palestine as well. So that's why it's not as black and white.
It must be so crazy to come from a country where the government's just full of terrorists. I don't know what that would be like.
Right, let's do what other ones we can do. Let's see. What's this? Tell me about a time. What? This is quite an interesting one. Somebody says, tell me about a time you've improvised an eating utensil. I once ate a prawn madras with my Boots Advantage card, which has now perished. I say, have you ever done that when you're sort of traveling, you haven't got a fork or a spoon, you have to just use something? I definitely have. Yeah. I mean, I've eaten with my hands
I made vegetable soup the other day in a pint glass.
You drank soup out of a pint glass?
Yeah, I made vegetable soup in the pint glass. But I thought it was I think it's a great idea. Like, I just drank it. It was like really good.
It might be for if you want a big soup, but in terms of just the optics on that look terrible.
So funny. But isn't it interesting?
Like
a thermos would be fine. A thermos of soup is fine.
You feel like a granddad.
But a pint glass is like a tip. It was a can of, it was good quality, like vegetable soup. I just tipped it in the pint glass, 3 minutes in the microwave. You got a pint of soup,
can you,
man.
Can you microwave a pint glass? Can yes. you?
I did. Yeah, it wasn't really hot either. No, you could do that.
Carl, do you have metal pint glasses?
Yes. No, but I don't. I've never put foil. I've never put a glass in the microwave. Actually, I don't own a microwave. This is why I'm out of the loop. But
yeah, you can put glass in there. Yeah,
which is odd to not own. I realise it is quite odd to not own a microwave in 2023.
It took me ages to win my girlfriend over to get a microwave.
I don't have an air fryer either.
Have you got an air fryer? No. They're good.
They are. I've used one, actually. They're quite good. And they're, you know, but there's not. You don't get much in them. That's the thing. I mean, unless you buy a big one. But I've used one at my in-laws. And it,
the big Ninja one's got two drawers, man. That would
be quite good. But I also have an oven, which does cook things.
Do you know what I mean?
You know your way around an oven, though. I'm like,
well, an oven is a literally an air fryer is an oven. You've got to open it, put stuff in it. Well, you've got to turn it on, heat, and then put stuff in it.
But it... Yeah, it does feel easier though. I don't know why, a bit more user friendly.
I think maybe if you've got a difficult to use oven, I've never encountered an oven I couldn't work out very quickly, if I'm honest. Not to blow my own trumpet.
Julian's buying his kitchen utensils from the early learning center.
They're so low down, aren't they? They don't heat up. the stoves don't work. Why are they made of wood?
There's no tea in this teapot.
Everyone's drinking tea out of teacups with nothing in them, weirdos.
Let's talk.
Teddy bears for dinner.
What's this one? Any worthless junk you won't throw out. I have an 80 gig iPod from 2006. Don't have a charger for it, but I can't bear to part with it. That's probably quite a good thing to have, like an old iPod. They're really good if you ever want to go back and use them, like just buy a charger. But like... You know, I've definitely got some things I won't that are just like, I don't know. Yeah, I probably have. I am pretty good though. Yeah, I'm pretty. I'm not that attached to things from the past. I'm very. If anything, I'm a bit brutal. Like clothes wise, I'm a nightmare for. I'll buy a jacket and I'll wear it for like I'll love it for a year and then I'll have 3 months where I'm not that keen on it and it could surely come down around that I'll use it again. But in the end, I'll just give it to charity. And then flash forward 6 months, I buy another version of that jacket because I actually do miss it. And that's, I just live in that cycle.
There's one, I was recently forced to get rid of something that I really, really liked. I had one of those like old lady shopping bag trolleys.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's the end of this week's public episode. We hope you enjoyed it. What happens now, Julian?
They can, if they want to hear the rest of the episode, they can go over to patreon.com/WeAreTVI.
There you go. Once you've signed up there, you can hear the rest of the episode. You can hear all the old Patreon episodes, exclusives, whatever.
It's 45p a week.
Is it? Mm. That's cool. Mm. I didn't know that.
Easy life.
There we go. It's even cheaper than I thought. So do that. And but if not, don't worry. You can listen to next week's public episode when it's released. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're actually changing the podcast. I think so, you know. Ron, if you die of AIDS in an alleyway, I'm alright, bro.